Well, welcome to everyone who's joining the teleconference call today. As legislators are joining the call, I thought I would make the early comers aware of a few things. If you are new to the American Prayer Caucus Network, you might be interested to know that it has expanded to nearly 850 members, with over 90 members or nearly 90 members in the Congressional Prayer Caucus and over 750 members in 31 state legislative prayer caucuses. There are over 22 state directors, I say over because there's 22 and a couple in process, that are supporting those states. Our goal is to expand to have prayer caucuses, legislative prayer caucuses, and networks in all 50 states with a state director in every state. So we want to welcome the most recent additions to our network, Minnesota and Washington, just recently formed legislative prayer caucuses. Welcome. We have united, equipped, inspired, and mobilized here at CPCF the largest network of leaders to stand for faith and impact the culture. And we are committed to formulating, implementing, and articulating strategies that we can all use to redirect the nation to embrace religious liberty and America's Judeo-Christian heritage and prayer. We support the like-minded frontline defenders of faith, our elected leaders, who are committed to clearing the path and making sure that we have an environment in which every individual has freedom of conscience and faith-based groups can continue to freely operate in the public square. All lines are muted as legislators join the call today. A live interactive question and answer session will follow the remarks by the presenters. If you want to know more about the Congressional Prayer Caucus Foundation, please feel free to contact us at any time here at CPCF. Our information is on the email invitation that you received, or you can visit our website, cpcfoundation.com. To find out more about the network in each state, you can click on Join the Movement in your state at the top of the homepage. You'll see what's happening in other state legislative prayer caucuses, the chairman, the state directors, some of the actions and activities they're doing. If you want to know more about the resources that CPCF provides you to help you have more impact, please feel free to click on the For APCN Members button at the top of the homepage. And there we have provided a number of things for you, religious freedom issues, resources, documents that will be helpful, chairman packages, quite a few things there for your use. At our website, you can also find out more about some of the initiatives that this network has spearheaded, such as Pray USA, the Call to Prayer for America, where over 1,100 elected officials have signed a Call to Prayer proclamation, and many of those same leaders are now going into churches where these churches are holding Pray USA Spotlight Sundays, where they invite a legislator to stand in the pulpit with the pastor to call the church to pray for our nation. And just so you know, the foundation has provided everything that you or your church needs to host one, and it is basically turnkey, just add water. If you have any questions about that, you can go to our main website page and go to the initiative section, or you can just go to prayusa.com. Or another initiative, In God We Trust put it up, where people nationwide have implemented a variety of ways to display our national motto, to reverse the momentum and proudly make a statement supporting our heritage and values. Over 3 million decals and displays, decals on cars, bumper stickers, on law enforcement vehicles in over 25 states, government offices, school classrooms, courthouses. Many of these places have found a simple way to take a stand for faith by engaging and in the In God We Trust Put It Up campaign. And this was started by, again, our legislators, our congressmen who passed House Resolution 13, and over 13 now states have some form of bill or resolution encouraging the display of In God We Trust or affirming it as our national motto. Many of those are requiring it in school classrooms, which has given citizens a terrific opportunity. So all lines are muted as people are joining the call today. This call is specifically for lawmakers, most of whom are part of the American Prayer Caucus Network, or are being introduced to the network. And a live interactive question and answer session will follow the remarks by the presenters. So we are going to open the call now in just a moment. We are confirming that all of our presenters are on the call. We're so grateful for each one of you who are taking the time, and we want to welcome especially the newcomers to our network who are just being introduced to this incredible united network of government leaders. federal and state, and even some local leaders who are engaged in this network and committed to the mission. So it looks like now I have confirmed that all of the speakers and presenters are on the call. Just wanted to open the call today. Welcome to today's teleconference call for members of the American Prayer Caucus Network. I'm Leah Carowin. I'm the Executive Director of the Congressional Prayer Caucus Foundation. And just want to take a moment to express my gratitude for every one of you who has taken the time to be on this call. Welcome. We are recording this call, and the audio will be available upon request. During the presentation, all lines will be in listen-only mode. And if at any time you experience technical difficulties, just please press star zero, and an operator will assist you privately. All lines are muted, so a Q&A session will follow the remarks by the presenter. So please remember any questions you might have, write them down. We will open the lines and unmute everyone at that time so that you'll be able to ask your own questions to ensure that, and everyone will just self-mute at that point. So as most of you know, the Congressional Prayer Caucus Foundation is a nonpartisan, nonprofit organization, united, equipped, and mobilized the largest network of government leaders committed to standing for faith and making an impact on the culture. We support this growing American Prayer Caucus network, which has expanded to nearly 850 members, with over 90 members in the Congressional Prayer Caucus and over 750 members in 31 state legislative prayer caucuses and 22 state directors. The purpose of this call is to give you an update on Project Blitz and the recent successes, including increased passage of religious freedom legislation nationwide, many of whom are on this call have made that happen. Also to make you aware of some excellent resources that are provided and have a discussion around strategy and next steps. Today, Congressman Forbes and I are being joined by two of our prayer caucus chairmen, Representative Matt Krause and Representative Randy Powell, whom you'll hear from shortly, and our new special counsel, Jim Davids. So we're going to begin our time by turning to the Lord for wisdom, and then our new president at the Congressional Prayer Caucus Foundation, Congressman Randy Forbes, who many of you know is also the founder of the Congressional Prayer Caucus, will discuss strategy and the direction of CPCF. Congressman Forbes.
Leah, thank you so much. And if all of you would just join me, we're going to open just in a moment of prayer. Lord, we just thank you so much for your blessings. We thank you for the privilege of living in this wonderful country. And Father, we just thank you that it was birthed with the recognition that our rights did come from you. And Lord, today we just ask for your wisdom. We ask for your blessing. And Father, we just ask that everything that we do would be to bring glory and honor to you. And Father, we collectively ask that you'd heal our name. For it's in your name we pray. Amen. I want to, first of all, Leah, thank you and all of the staff at the Congressional Prayer Caucus Foundation for the great work that you do. I am excited today to be on the line with so many wonderful legislators and state directors across the country, and particularly appreciative of Matt and Randy, and looking forward to hear their comments. And we are especially privileged to have our new special counsel, Jim David, who's a part of this organization now in the capacity that he's assisting in. And Jim, we just thank you so much for what you have done for faith and for standing with us and providing some help to these legislators around the country. I'm going to be brief because we've got a lot of things we'd like to cover today, but all of us know that we could spend the entire few minutes that we have together just talking about the direction of the country and how bad things are going and how much we are concerned about it. But we've made a commitment not to chase the problems, but rather to chase strategies that will help be solutions to the problems. And one of the things that we are excited about, as Leah mentioned, is we now have the largest network, all of us working together, of elected leaders in the country. I am excited that I believe with all of them coming together, we can forge the strategies necessary to push back on the anti-faith efforts that have come against the nation. All of us know that we could not only spend a lot of time looking at the challenges across the country, but we could also be throwing out potential solutions to all of the myriad of problems that our country faces. But that's not our focus. Our focus is that we recognize that there is a well-organized, well-funded campaign, which is an anti-faith campaign on this country, and it's having huge impact. And one of the things that has concerned us most is not just what they have done, but the fact that from the faith community, we look and see very little strategic thinking that is taking place across the country. I can assure you the other side is very strategic in what they've done and how they've operated. But up to this point, we have seen very little strategy in terms of pushing back and reclaiming and restoring this country to faith. What we find with organizations is one of a myriad of things. Either one, those organizations will try to just build their organization up and suggest that they have the solution of the way forward for the country, and in most situations, that's going to fail. The second thing that we find is that most people, when they talk about strategies, they're really meaning tactics, not strategies. And what we have tried to do is to take principles that we have used for preparing strategic thought on a national basis, especially for national defense and other areas like that, and apply those same principles to the faith component. And I am excited because we will be in the next...
Randy?
I'm sorry, Leah. Yes,
Randy,
Leah.
I hate to interrupt you, but you're getting a little bit difficult to hear. It looks like you're breaking up. I don't know if you're in a place where you could maybe move to...
No. I am as close to the phone as I can get, Leah, and I'm not on the road, so is this still bad?
It's doable. Just speak up, maybe. Just speak real clearly.
Okay.
Speak up. We can
I'll
definitely hear you.
That.
It just okay. Thanks.
I will cut it off very quickly, and let me just say this: in the next few weeks, we will be having a number of leaders from across the country coming to look at strategies for the nation, and we are excited about that. And I'll just wrap up by saying, for us to have successful strategies, we must be able to formulate them, articulate them, and implement them. One of the things I'm excited about is we are having a large group of organizations and individuals coming together now for the first time, I believe, in the country to actually formulate those strategies. And I believe we're going to be very successful as we all combine our resources, our energies, and our efforts together. So thank you all for being a part of that and joining in that effort. And with that, Leah, I'll turn it back to you.
Right. Congressman Forbes, now, did you mention the four areas in which you feel like the other side has successfully succeeded? Did you mention that earlier as you were talking?
I did not, but I can do that. As we have done the analysis across this spectrum, one of the things that you make an error in doing when we're creating strategies is we don't look at ourselves honestly sometimes, and we don't look at our opponents honestly. And sometimes we focus on what our opponents are doing and try to replicate that. Unfortunately, if we try to replicate what our opponents are doing, we will fail because, quite honestly, they can do what they do better than we can. What we have to do to be successful is look at the impacts they have had on faith and say, how do we restore those impacts using the resources we have? And there have been four impacts that you can put everything into one of these columns. The first impact is that they have tarnished the Christian brand, and we have to turn that around. The second thing that they have done is they have isolated elected leaders. So many of you know that when you try to stand for faith, oftentimes you'll be attacked by the anti-faith groups, but you feel sometimes like you're an island on an island by yourself because even your friends kind of move back away from you. And one of the things that the Congressional Prayer Caucus Foundation and the Congressional Prayer Caucuses are doing is making sure that's not the case, that we are giving that support and making sure we're turning that isolation around. The third thing, of course, that they are doing is distorting our message. And the way they distort the Christian message is by, one, limiting the places that we can even deliver it, by twisting it around and making it look like Christians are simply bigots and individuals that want to control their lives, instead of what's really the case, that Christians are very caring, giving, doing a lot of things for the communities, and also offering people in a world where few of them have meaning and purpose in their lives, that kind of meaning and purpose, which is important for us to get through. And then the final thing is they are raising the price tag on being a Christian, where we would have never dreamed 20 or 30 years ago that to be able to exercise your faith, you literally could lose everything that you have, including in some times your physical safety and the safety of your family. So as we focus on those four things, Leah, and develop strategies to help restore those, I think we're going to see a lot of success, and we're not going to be chasing every rabbit that comes along into alleys that don't have a return on our benefit.
Excellent. Thank you, Congressman Forbes. I appreciate you adding that as well. We wanted to, one of the blessings of advancing and expanding like we're doing so quickly through the network is that we're thrilled to have so many more people. One of the challenges is then we've had to rethink how we're doing things, and that I know many of you were planning on coming to the Lift America Summit that we had to reschedule. We're very excited about that. We're excited about finding new ways to get together and meet together, and we're certainly working on plans to reschedule that, and we'll let you know just as soon as we know the direction that we're going with that, but thank you all for your patience on that. We are eager to get everybody together again for the next summit. All the lines are muted. Don't forget a Q&A session will follow the remarks of all the presenters in just a moment. We'll unmute everybody. We want to make sure to make the most impact that help you make the most impact that you can in your state. So as we've listened to you at CPCF, we've helped facilitate a number of things that you wanted. For instance, you desire to advance religious freedom legislation in a way that would work in your particular state. And knowing that every state has an environment and a variety of challenges and varying degrees of ease in that arena, we know that also many times outside groups come together and make decisions about what they want you to do and then try to twist your arm or convince you or lobby you to do it. But you wanted to choose the best option for your state, and so we asked, as you asked for a menu of best practice religious freedom legislation with the history of success, talking points, legal support. So that's the kind of thing that we provided for you. You wanted actual support through prayer and action from local citizens. You said we will step up to the plate, but we can't do it alone. So through Project Blitz, this is what we tried to give you, and we've seen exceptional results. Many of you have been actively involved and know what I'm talking about, but just for a few of those that don't, we put together the report and analysis on religious freedom measures impacting prayer and faith with over 20 bills and resolutions that were categorized by cost, benefit, and talking points, and we intentionally included both laws and resolutions, safe and aggressive ones, and we know sometimes success is simply getting it out of committee and to a vote. This report was vetted through legislators, legal experts, professors, and messaging experts. And the importance of all the states doing something through Project Blitz is that we stretched their resources and their focus across the nation. They couldn't be as successful focusing on one state or one governor like they had in the past. And there was a huge impact by going on the offense and doing the full court press. In 2017, we've seen over five times so far the number of religious freedom measures in at least 15 states that have been passed than what we saw in 2016, again, thanks to many of you on this call. And several more bills are sitting on governor's desks for signatures. We also created the at-a-glance 2017 religious freedom measures grid so that you can see all of the bills that have been proposed, that are stalled, that are passed in 2017 in every single state. Both of these can be found at our website in the section for APCN members. So just wanted to remind you of those resources. And one of our state legislators that resorted to a very aggressive tactics to ensure the passage of a few key bills in his legislative prayer caucus in Texas, the co-chairman, Representative Matt Krause. I've invited Representative Krause on the call to describe their efforts. Representative Krause, I'm so grateful. I know you're taking a few minutes out of your vacation to join us. Thank you so much for doing that. Representative Krause. Uh-oh, do we need to unmute Representative Krause? If you're on the call, we know you're on the call. You let us know you're on the call. You need to unmute your phone, or does the operator need to unmute him? Did he mute all the presenters? Representative Krause, are you with us?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Oh, there you are. Yes, sir. Bill, please go ahead.
I apologize for that. I thought I hit the unmute button that I needed to. It's an honor to be on here with y'all. Thank you for the opportunity to share. What we did in Texas this last session, we just finished up our regular session last Monday, is that we tried to get a robust religious liberty law through that they worked on at the federal level.
Tech summer. So I'm surprised you don't get the emails. You probably do. Just miss.
I guess that's probably not in the background with you, Representative Krause, is it?
Send it to you.
No.
Right
now. Oh, okay.
What email do you want to? Okay.
Who in the world is that?
Okay. Sounds good.
All right.
Is that better?
That's better. Let's keep going. We're texting the operator to see if he can jump on and see what's happening. But you feel free to go ahead.
Perfect. Yeah, and so in Texas, we had filed what was called the First Amendment Defense Act, or FADA, which was based off a federal law that has been worked on for the last couple of years. And basically what it's saying is that you can the government cannot penalize you or discriminate against you for your beliefs. Your sincerely held religious beliefs. And as Congressman Forbes was just saying a little earlier, is all of a sudden they start trying to go after not only political elected officials, but just professionals in their own professional life. And so what we wanted to do in Texas is say, hey, no matter what your beliefs are, whether it's on marriage, whether it's pro-life beliefs, you cannot be discriminated against or penalized by the government for those beliefs. And it's a pretty encompassing religious liberty law. Even in a state like Texas, it didn't get a lot of traction this time. So what we did, we started looking for areas where our agencies were going through the sunset process. And whether it was the pharmacist, whether it was the nurses, whether it was the state bar and lawyers in Texas, we worked to add this language, this FADA language, into each of those. Because what we're seeing, again, in some other states as well, like on the pharmacy end, is that you couldn't even get your license to dispense pharmaceuticals if you held certain pro-life beliefs. And so if you aren't willing to give birth control, if you aren't willing to give the morning after pill, then we could envision a scenario where you're not going to be able to get a license in the first place, just basically based on that belief. And then once you have that license, the government should not penalize you if you are going to work according to your sincerely held religious beliefs. And so it was very important for us to get that language in there to be able to protect those pharmacists. The nurses are the same way, that they don't have to participate in surgeries or procedures that they find antithetical to their beliefs. And then with the State Bar of Texas, if you've followed it at all the last couple of year and a half or so, the ABA, the American Bar Association, came out with the rule, and they said, hey, it's now discrimination if you do this, 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 or this in the practice of law. Well, they define practice of law a little later down in the comments section, is that even the bar associations or social or civic groups that you belong to constitutes the practice of law. And as we've seen on Christian Legal Society chapters at law schools all around the country, sometimes those are deemed discriminatory just by the fact that they have a code of conduct, they have a code of ethics that you have to subscribe to in order to be a part, and especially to be in leadership. So we could envision a time, if Texas were to ever adopt this ABA rule, that the State Bar of Texas or the Board of Law Examiners could outright deny licensure to somebody based on their sincerely held religious beliefs, and just because they happen to be associated or a member in one of these chapters of these organizations that are found discriminatory. So we would have liked to have taken care of everybody all at once, which would have been fantastic. But what we found is that it was just as helpful to get some of these in the smaller pieces on some of these very important matters. We had chiropractors, we had dental examiners, we had veterinarians come up for sunset. We didn't see the need as much there, some of the other ones. Not saying that they shouldn't have their religious beliefs protected. I just couldn't envision much of a scenario where that would happen. But I think it's always good, and I would encourage anybody else on the call who's in a position to do it. Any way we can get good, solid, proactive religious liberty legislation, especially in these licensure areas that states are moving more and more to, it would be very beneficial, because that's the way I think we combat some of this and make sure we have a public policy statement that religious liberty legislation is something that's supposed to be venerated in our state, and it's a public policy we're going to hold closely to.
Excellent. Excellent. Thank you, Representative Krause. So grateful for the ways in which you thought strategically and did what you had to do, and really appreciate that. I know others on this call have examples of how they were able to get it passed, too, and hopefully we'll have a few minutes at the end if there's anybody else that would like to share. But thank you, Representative Krause, for your work, and also for just all your work there as the Prayer Caucus Chairman in Texas.
Absolutely. Well, and I wanted to thank you all again for – oh, I just wanted to thank you all again for your support and resources. Debbie Terry, our Texas leader for the Congressional Prayer Caucus, was amazing and outstanding. So the resources and the support you all provide really do make a real-world difference as we're fighting for some of these things, and we really appreciate it.
No, oh, you are so welcome. It is our pleasure to serve you. We really are thrilled to do it. So excellent. Thank you, sir. And many of you have also requested, to along those same lines, you've requested a variety of legal and policy support. So this is goes into what Representative Krause was saying. We really are seriously looking for ways in which we can truly support you the way you need to be supported. And recently, we began working closely with four excellent legal and policy experts who formed a coalition to help advance religious freedom. They're now giving their time and effort to help this network of legislators. They're focused on helping us, helping this network. One of the four is now formally employed as a CPCF senior counsel and will be actively providing legal and policy help in a number of ways. So I want to introduce to you Jim Davids, who's representing three others, Steve Fitchin, David Bruce, and Rick Claybrook, all excellent legal and policy experts. Jim graduated from Duke Law School, and then he practiced law for 25 years in Chicago. And in 2001, he joined the Bush 43 Department of Justice, where he helped set up the faith-based initiative. 3 years later, he joined Regent University, where he's taught constitutional law for the past 14 years. And he's been a member of the Christian Legal Society for decades and served on its board and as its president. There's much more to say about Jim and the rest of these legal experts, but I hope you can see that we have an incredible team, and Jim is an incredible resource, as all of them are for you. I'd like to invite Jim just to share a couple of quick remarks as well and greet you. Jim, are you on the call? We also might need help unmuting Jim. Jim, are you unmuted? All right. Give me just a second.
The conference is now muted.
All right. Jim, are you on the call by any chance? I know you're on the call because I talked to you at the beginning. Steve, can you open up the call real quick? Can you unmute yourself?
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yeah, absolutely. Maybe just a quick greeting from you and Jim.
Sure. I'm Steve Fitchin. I'm one of the four that Leah just mentioned. I'm the president of the National Legal Foundation, and in that capacity, though, I've agreed to serve as a senior legal advisor to the foundation here, along with Jim and Rick and David. And I know I have a list of the things that Jim was going to cover. I don't know exactly what he wanted to say about them, but some of the services that we can provide to y'all is different letters. I know sometimes legislators want to address letters to various issues going on in your state. And we were able to basically write a draft of that, get it out to you guys for your approval, for your tweaking, and make sure that what's in the letter is legally sound. That's one thing we've already begun to do. Also, we're filing amicus briefs. We've got three in the works for the foundation as the foundation, but we'd also be very interested in representing some of y'all when the cases arise in more states. That's very powerful, especially for the federal courts. If they see that the state legislature is watching what's going on, We're also able to provide expert witnesses, and that is both in terms of testimony. I myself have testified either written or orally to the United States House, United States Senate, three of the states. I think other of our folks have as well. We're ready to do that. But we can also, if you have litigation in your states that you become aware of that are very, very important to you, that you're concerned about, we are a resource for finding expert trial witnesses. And I do know, Leah, I think also that Jim was going to mention the update on the report and analysis on the religious liberty measures. He's the main guy going through that. I think we also have in mind perhaps doing model legislation that would be helpful to everyone. And I think that's pretty much his bullet points, Leah.
Oh, excellent. Thank you, Steve. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. And we know that, of course, there's a many resources for legal experts. You can go to, you know, First Liberty, you can go to ADF and all, but not everybody has access to them. Not everybody has relationships with the various ones. And sometimes, you know, they aren't available to move quite as quickly as you may need them to. So to have this group of leaders of the policy and legal experts that are devoting themselves to quickly move on your behalf is a huge blessing. We're so grateful, Steve, Jim, Rick, and David. So thank you, Steve. And they've recently joined the team, but they hit the ground running. They've already written an amicus brief like for CPCF, FFRF versus Chino Valley School Board case. They helped to draft the letter to President Trump that over 1,000 of our elected leaders and citizens, many of you signed, encouraging him to sign the executive order. They drafted a robust, legally sound letter for the Florida Prayer Caucus, which were they able to send to Longwood Mayor Durso, who was threatened with a lawsuit by the FFRF. Freedom from Religion Foundation, sorry for those of you that don't know, their modus operandi is to bully and threaten lawsuits to anybody that they want to try to stop. Over this mayor's stand to ensure that he would keep a veterans monument in the shape of a cross in City Hall. And to get a letter from the Florida Legislative Prayer Caucus representing dozens of legislators was extremely encouraging to Mayor Durso to stand his ground. And we don't know what you're going to encounter tomorrow. Ideas will come to you, challenges will come, and we're just here to assist you as quickly as possible, and we can now move pretty quickly, sometimes within 24 hours, to get you what you need. Sometimes it takes a little longer, but we want to support you, and we want to help you support the victims in your state. Or you may be doing something good that we just want to multiply the impact of it. Arizona legislator was standing strong when an atheist stood up and did a non-prayer during the time when it was the House rules were indicating that a prayer needed to be given. An atheist said, I'm going to stand up and do a non-prayer. So this legislator, a prayer caucus member, stood up and gave a prayer. And sure enough, the media came after him. Well, we were able to mobilize over 200 calls and emails to him over 27 states, and it brought him to tears. He said, he called me and said, Leah, I can't tell you what this means to know that I have this kind of support. We're talking about having, you know, people in his area write op-eds to the media and saying, listen, we're standing with this man. So there's a lot we can do. We also feel strongly about prayer, as you well know. It's essential as the first step before we take action. And Kansas Legislative Prayer Caucus co-chair Representative Randy Powell is the last one we've asked. He has experienced the importance of prayer in his personal and the legislative life, and he's just going to take a couple minutes to share his experience, and then again, right after that, we're going to open up the lines for Q&A and any comments that you might have. So, Representative Powell, are you on the line?
Yes, I am. Thank you, Leah. So, being given a few moments here, I'm going to jump right into it with our Congressional Prayer Caucus, which, by the way, has been incredibly, incredibly encouraging to each member that has joined with us. We have become very close. Kansas, unlike a number of states in the country, we moved in a more freedom-oriented growth direction in 2012 and are now experiencing some backlash from that. So we've taken a step backwards. We are certainly the minority in our legislature. And so to have these comrades is amazing. And I think in word pictures, so as I think of our weaponry, I used to think of a two-edged sword, one side being prayer and the other policy, but each side of a sword actually has, each edge has two sides that both need to be sharpened. So we've upgraded our weaponry recently in just our understanding, and I know Randy Forbes spoke about just needing to be clear and articulate and on what you're doing. So the one side of our sword now we've upgraded to prayer and fasting. The other side, policy and politics. I'm in year three. I'm learning it's not enough to know policy. You have to know the art and strategy of politics, but we don't want to implement the art and strategy of politics with junk policy or bad policy. So that's the sword that we remind one another that we're fighting with. And even today as I speak, we're in day 109 of what in theory should be a 90-day session. And I'll get to in just a moment some testimonies of how we're seeing God moving, and it's encouraging. But one thing we've learned earlier in the session is that there are different kinds of prayer. And I don't know how this will fit within the context of people's paradigms of how they view faith and prayer, but there are prayers of supplication. Those begin with us. We state our need to God. Those are fine. They're good. God wants to hear those prayers. But we are God's ambassadors. We may be elected officials, but we're also appointed by the King of Kings, who stands above every other ruler, and we carry his authority. And so there are times as we're listening to him, he can prompt us to speak out either a proclamation or declaration. And we're asking God consistently and persistently with much passion, Lord, teach us to pray. Give us insight. May we be able to say with the, like the Apostle Paul, we are not ignorant of the enemy's schemes. May we be focused and proactive and not reactive. And that's been our strategy. So a couple quick testimonies. One, the Lyft conference was canceled. So I went off and canceled my flight. In speaking with our state director, Donna Leopold, she had not canceled her flight. And I went, rats! I had felt like there could still be something strategic in my trip to D.C. We had just been talking about declarative prayer. So Don and I looked at each other and thought, if God wants you there, which we both agreed, God still had something for me in D.C. So I called, I won't name the name of the airlines, but I consider them punitive in their customer service policies. So I called them. I was put on hold for 5 minutes. They reinstated my ticket with the same seat I had. The D.C. trip became an adventure of divine appointments. Summer had emailed me with some suggestions of folks to meet with, and I didn't make any advance plans, and God orchestrated a number of days that are still blowing my mind away. That was from late April. I journaled 8 pages in my journal on the return flight. But coming back to the state capitol, we were set to work through a weekend a few weekends ago, and I was sitting here on a Friday morning resigning myself to the fact that we were going to be here on the weekend. However, we had had our church had our annual retreat for that weekend, which is very strategic, kingdom-minded. And the thought dawned on me, that is governmental business as well. And something just inspired me. A strength came over me that wasn't from myself. And I started shouting in my little apartment here, shut it down, shut it down, shut it down. And I took a step of faith. I jumped in my jeans, went to the Capitol, dressed for the retreat, which I'm usually in a suit, walked in. The first person who saw me was the speaker's chief of staff, who said, Randy, leadership has just met, and we are going home for the weekend. And that just, I could have done cartwheels, I think. So that was just really mind-blowing to me. And I'm not saying that to say, wow, look at me and my great faith, but I think God was being instructive. The Holy Spirit was showing me there are times and seasons where I want something to happen, but I'm waiting for you to step into the authority that I've delegated to you and expect you to walk in. So we're learning. We're still babes in that. Right now is the Congressional Prayer Caucus, a very quick testimony. We have been praying since April 4th. We believe God gave us a scripture in Psalm 7:14 through 16, the gist of it is that what the evil are planning would come back on themselves. The pits they are digging, they would fall into themselves. And we've been praying specifically, God's given us insights on spiritual influences that we can stand against. And I'll tell you, we have testimony of people that are some of our most articulate representatives that are getting up and can't get a sentence out of their mouths as a result of our prayers and seeing much confusion. And it could be one reason we're into so much overtime is the those who would stand against the principles of limited government and freedom and things that are godly and in best interest of Kansan citizens, they're not seeing any way to scrabble together enough votes to get us out of here. And just attempt after attempt after attempt are being thwarted. And we continue to stand strong. Today as I speak, Donald Leopold, our director, has rallied a number of prayer warriors that are actually praying and fasting along with us, and in an assault that we will stand for godly principles here and stand for what God wants to accomplish. And then in addition to that, they have groups of people that are reading through the entire Bible in the Capitol this week. So we're deeply encouraged from their support. And I would just end this to say that my adventure, specifically with regard, I'm here today because of a choice I made late in 2012. And I had looked at the lives of ordinary people in history that God had worked in their lives and through their lives in an extraordinary manner. And I saw that they did two things. And I'm not out to build a denomination around this, but if I could challenge those on the call today to consider maybe not exactly what I'm doing, but the principles behind it. They sought God early in the morning, and they also incorporated a violence to their prayer life. I don't mean literal violence, but I mean a passion and an importunity where they incorporated fasting into their prayer life. And so I made a decision. I called my adult kids and said, don't call me anymore after 8:15 at night. I'm going to bed at 9. I'm getting up at 5 or earlier. And I also made a commitment to the Lord. I said, I'm going to begin fasting no less than 7 days a month. And Lord, we live in a serious time. And I think we don't do these kinds of things to earn anything from God. He loves us. There's nothing we can do to earn his love. But we're at war. C.S. Lewis said we're born into war. So, and we can get as close to God as we so choose. And so, and his grace is there to back us up with decisions of commitment and support. So that's what I started doing. And I can say I would never be where I'm at now, I'm convinced, without establishing times in the quiet of the morning to listen to God and to walk with him, and then to move forward with disciplines that enhance and put us in a place where we can be better receptors and be better engaged with his purposes. And so I just would say to anyone on the call, if that in all inspires you, just take one step. You know, if you're not getting up early in the morning, set your alarm 15 minutes earlier. It's worth it. Just start seeking our first love, you know, and ensure that that love is intact and that there are no idols and that we move forward with his kingdom business.
Amen. Representative Powell, thank you so much for your inspiration, for your encouragement. And you've said it so beautifully. We talk about prayer. We're the Congressional Prayer Caucus Foundation. We encourage prayer, and that is not just words for us. We believe, just like you said, we have seen the power and the miracles. And it's not just talking to the Lord, it's also listening to the Lord. And you've said it just so beautifully. I'm not going to repeat it, but I just want to emphasize, we are so grateful for every single one of you on this call that is committed to the Lord and to prayer and to being faithful every day, whether anybody's looking or not. It is a huge, you're on the front lines every day, which is why we are so honored to serve you in any way that we can. So we're going to open up the lines now for Q&A and comments. And, of course, with the trouble we've had, I do this with a little fear and trembling, but I still want to honor that. We're going to go ahead and try to open up all the lines, but if everybody could just please mute your phones and only unmute your phone if you are asking a question or making a comment. And I don't know if we're still going to have the problem with that one phone that we still seem to be having, but if everybody would mute their phones. I'm going to give everybody just a moment, and then I'm going to open it up here. If anybody has a question or comment, just simply unmute your phone, state your name, and make your comment or ask your question. We still have Congressman Forbes, Representative Powell, and Steve Fitchin for sure on the line. I know Representative Matt Krause had to jump off. So if you have any questions for him, We'd need to do that offline. But anybody have any questions or comments?
Leah, can you hear me?
I sure can.
Yeah, this is Doug Daugherty. I just wondered, are you all going to do a Project Blitz next year?
That's a great question, Doug. I think the short answer is yes, in a sense, because the momentum that has begun here, I haven't heard from any of our legislators that they don't want to continue that. And we're going to provide the resources for these legislators. We're actually going to do a version 2 report and analysis on religious liberty measures. Many of our legislators had said, boy, if you could have just gotten this to us earlier. But, of course, we didn't know. The election happened, and suddenly we were running to get this. And so many of them didn't even get it in their hands until it was too late. But some were able to get it. So we'll be resourcing people. We'll be providing the legal and policy help in a whole new way. We've mobilized 40 coalition partners. I don't know if all of you know that, to prayer networks, business leaders, family policy councils. We're working with all of them to support you and to provide robust support. So a prayer and action. So the answer is yes, Doug. We don't see any reason why we wouldn't continue even doing a full court press as long as we need to ensure that we advance what God is doing in America.
And, Leah, this is Randy Forbes. Doug, we definitely are going to do that because this Operation Blitz exceeded our wildest expectations, quite honestly. And the feedback we've gotten from the country and legislators across the country has been just really phenomenal. And one of the things, you know, as we talked about at the beginning, we always hear all the bad stuff that's going on. We're all just so encouraged about all of the people coming together now and for the first time focusing on strategy. Just to give you a couple of things, and we had a little bit of technical difficulties at the beginning, but not only are we doing the legislative stuff, we're creating an entire legacy board of members, former members of Congress, former members of state legislatures who are actively involved in working on these strategies around the clock. And so, you know, this thing is just continuing to grow. And I think what we've seen in the legislatures around the country, we're going to see that with quantum leaps even next year. So we're definitely going to move forward with that again next year.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Congressman Forbes, this is Dale Witherington in Minnesota. You mentioned the difference between strategies and tactics. I'm wondering, what is your role to us here in Minnesota, and what is our role to you there in the home office for mutually working and formulating, articulating, and implementing strategy?
Leah, do you want me to take that one? This is Randy again.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, first of all, thank you guys for what you're doing. One of the things that we have tried to do, my expertise was doing strategic analysis for primarily national defense stuff. I am at the Naval War College now. In fact, I'll be leaving to go up there later today. We have done this for the last 16 years. And one of the things that we have recognized is as we take those principles of strategic analysis, it will not work if we try to create an organization to do that. But if we create a hub of organizations to come together, we can actually formulate those kind of strategies. But it can't be done in a mass form. Let me give you an example. One of the mistakes most Christian organizations make when they talk about creating strategy is they get a whole lot of organizations together, and then they take votes on which things we're going to do, which things we're not going to do. Let me just give you an analogy of why that won't work. Imagine if we did that on a national defense level and we brought all of our generals and admirals in a room and we said, okay, let's vote on the strategies we want to have. Every submariner would want more submarines and feel we needed to do submarines. Every aircraft carrier guy would want more aircraft carriers. And we would never get a strategy. What we would get is something that was representative of the most people in the room, but it wouldn't be the best strategy. So as far as how we will utilize legislators, we are beginning a series of meetings that are strategic meetings where we go in and, again, we don't rehash the problems. We look at strategies. We analyze those strategies. And we will be inviting many of you to participate in some of those meetings throughout the year. If you can do that, we'd love to have you as part of that. And if not, then what we will be doing is setting up some of these strategies that are developing and sending them out, just like we did with Project Blitz, for people to give comments on, their thoughts on. And then hopefully what we will come up with are strategies that, because of the rightness of the strategies, we will then get people to come together across the nation saying, yes, we want to implement those, and here are some of the tactics we can use to help implement them. But we hope you guys are going to be an integral part of both the development of those strategies, formulation of them, but then once we have gotten the strategies, articulating them, and then hopefully helping us implement them.
Great. Thank you very much.
Leah, this is Pam Olson, Florida.
Yes, Pam.
Hey, I just I wanted to thank your legal team, because it's brought actually strength to our legislative prep caucus, because now every time they hear of a religious freedom issue, the director goes, man, we need to get them to write a letter so we can stand with these guys. And I just wanted to thank them for that, because they've done with the mayor, and now they're doing something with a city council with prayer, and our legislators can't wait to sign off on these letters to send it out across our state. So I'm just very thankful, because it is something that's just excited our legislators, because they say, yes, this gives us the tool to stand with these people as they're under attack. So it's been a really big thing here. And I also just wanted to say thank you to Representative Randy Powell. Representative Powell, I'm the one that met you at J-Hop in D.C., and we tag-team preached, basically, but I wanted to...
Oh, yeah, I remember. That was awesome. That was incredible.
That was awesome. And I just wanted to say thank you. I am praying for you, and you're just a strength to all of us. So thank you, sir. I am praying for you.
Wonderful.
It's a joy to spend time with you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you.
This is the unmuted Jim Davids.
Yeah. Hi, Jim.
And thank you for the comment. Thank you for the encouragement from the person from Florida that just was kind enough to talk about being able to write letters. And that's one of the many, many things that we can do as a resource for the state legislators. Being the legal team for the Congressional Prayer Caucus Foundation. Encourage you to do op-eds. We'd be happy to work with you with respect to that, as well as letters to local bodies, encouraging them to stand strong in the faith. We want to be your resource to be able to do all the good stuff you do in the various state legislature.
Thank you.
That's
so much,
awesome.
Jim.
Thank you.
Appreciate you. Thank you, Jim. Any other legislators have any comments or questions?
Hey, Leah?
Yes, sir.
Leah, can you hear me?
I sure can.
Hey, Leah, this is Mel Ponder from down in Florida, and it's good to hear Pam's voice as well. But first, as she, I want to echo, I appreciate, I know y'all came to Tallahassee, you and Congressman Forbes, during session, and I had the incredible honor to meet you. But one of the things that Representative Krause kind of hit on, and I just wanted to confirm, because I'm kind of new to all this, is did you say, or did he reference somewhere on your website, there's testimonies of what other states are doing legislatively around the country?
There's a couple of things. We do have a grid that we have been keeping the track of all the religious freedom legislation that's happening across the nation. We've been tracking over 200 bills in all 50 states, actually in 41 states, and that grid is on our website. It's both in our Project Blitz section. It's also in our for APCN members section in the website. And we also... we also provided the report analysis, which gives a list of some of the best practice legislation that many legislators across the nation have used effectively. Does that answer your question, Representative Ponder?
Got it on the website
probably.
As well.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. And also, please, every one of you, I hope you know that if you have any questions at all you have to do is contact our office. Anybody can help you. We are here to help you and serve you. Is there anybody else that has a question or comment before we wrap up the call? All righty. Wanted to just give you a moment to unmute. Oh, go ahead.
Leah, Representative Kim Koppelman from North Dakota. I just wanted to thank you for your foray into our state, and we are excited to be a relatively new part of the Congressional Prayer Caucus. And I just wanted to say thanks, and to everyone online, we look forward to meeting and working with you in the months and years to come.
Excellent. Thank you, Representative Koppelman. Glad to have you on the call. So glad to have North Dakota. We're moving westward. We have Washington now. We're trying to get into California, but we're definitely moving that direction. So appreciate all your help. And just one last little thing as we wrap up this call. Again, thank you for your time, your comments, your questions. Just three quick things that we're inviting you to do as legislators. Please do consider proposing religious liberty legislation next session. Consider ways in which you can support the victims in your state. Contact us with details of what you propose or who you're trying to contact, and so that we can help you. We can support you in any way. We can be a clearinghouse for best practices and ideas, and we can circulate those ideas and successes. If you need resources, we will send them to you. We know that you're busy. We know that most of you don't have administrators. We assume that. We know that. That's why we try to make everything turnkey. We try to make everything just add water. We try to make everything templated so that it's real simple to resource a lot of you at once.